Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsum a day for the 15th of Tammuz. Today's responsum is from Shut Igrot Moshe, Orach Chaim, Part 2, Simon Tet Zayin, the 16th responsum. It's from the 15th of Tammuz of Tufshin Chaf of 1960. Rav Moshe Feinstein is discussing whether Psukei de Zimra have to be said in a particular order. The two main circumstances in which that question arises would be if somebody forgot to say one of Psukei de Zimra, do they have to go back, or can they just say it where they are, or do they have to go back and repeat from there to get it in the right order? To me, a more common example would be, let's suppose somebody came into shul and they thought they had to catch up, and to catch up there are rules about skipping certain things in the process of catching up. Let's say they skip those things, those mizmorim, those chapters of Tehillim, and then when they get up to the end of Psukei de Zimra, they realize they have more time than they thought they did. Can they simply insert there the ones that they had left out originally? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein takes up the question. He says he doesn't know of any explicit sources on this issue, and therefore he thinks that should mean that we would not on our own create the requirement or the necessity of saying them in order. And after all, there is a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin, which talks about those areas of halacha or of recitations that need to be done in order. The Gemara there, the Mishnah and Gemara there, talk about Hakorei HaMegillah LeMafreya, if somebody reads the Megillah out of order, or Hallel, or Kriyat Shema, and then of Tfilah, which means Shmona Esrei. It means the Amidah, it means the standing prayer. It doesn't mean any davening. But then Rav Moshe points out that in that Gemara, they then find psukim, they find verses to prove that each of those, in fact, needs to be said in the proper order. And then in the case of Tfilah, of Shmona Esrei, where you can't have psukim for it, let's pause so we can all recognize why we can't have psukim for it. Yes, we can't have psukim for it because it is not biblical and therefore it didn't exist in the time of the Gemara, of the Torah. And therefore, the Torah wasn't going to talk about it explicitly. Nonetheless, the Gemara there has a braita, has a source that said that Shimon HaPakuli, histir yudchet brachot lifnei Rabban Gamliel al HaSeder, put together 18 brachot, 18 blessings of what we call Shmona Esrei before Rabban Gamliel in order. And Rav Yochanan there says, Kuv chav zichkeni muvahim kamen nevi'im tiknu al HaSeder. He holds that it wasn't Shimon HaPakuli, it was 120 elders, some of whom were, in addition, Nevi'im, prophets, and they established it following a certain order. And the Braita then gives reasons why they're in that order. That suggests, and sounds like, that the order is only lechatchila but not bedavka, because there's no particular proof of it, there's no particular requirement of it, there's just the ideas, meaning if it was established by the order and you couldn't change it, Rav Moshe, I think, is suggesting, the Gemara then wouldn't have to give reasons for why it's this in this order, they would just say, well, this is the order. So, theoretically, you could say, well, the Gemara was trying to explain the order that they chose. In any case, Rav Moshe is of the opinion that those four items that require the order, particular tefillah, the Amidah, the standing prayer, where you have a braita that says explicitly it was created al haseder, he thinks that al haseder might be lechatchila and not pedavka. But I'm sorry, he thinks other cases. He thinks all the other cases, like Psukei de Zimra, where things have an order, those orders would necessarily not be bedavka, not be bedieved, because otherwise the braita should have mentioned those things as well. So from the silence of the braita about parts of prayer, parts of tefillah, other than these four of Megillah, Kriyat Shema, Hallel, and Tefillah, the impression would be that their order is not me'akev, is not necessary. It's what's preferred, but not necessary. And therefore, wouldn't be required in situations like we mentioned at the beginning. When it comes to Tefillah, Teshmona Esrei, Rav Moshe points out that Rashi in Brachot sounds like there is no order, because he says that the opinion of Rav Asi there's no necessary order, I should say. Rav Asi says that in the middle brachot, in the middle blessings of Shmona Esrei, so let's remember the structure of Shmona Esrei has three beginning brachot, Magen Avraham, Mechaye HaMeitim, and Hakel HaKadosh. Right, so those three are going to be a unit that we'll talk about in a second. And there are the last three, the bracha of HaMachazir Shekhinat Ol Tzion, returns his presence to Zion, which starts with Ritzei, then the bracha of that starts with the words modim, and is the bracha of hoda'a, of thanks, which finishes hatov shimcha l'chanei laodot, and then the bracha of peace of hamavarech and moiso b'shalom, who blesses the Jewish people, his people Israel, with peace. Those three units in the middle group. So I'm sorry, that's the first. There are first three and the last three. The middle unit is where we make our various requests, starting with the bracha of Chonin Hadad, of seeking knowledge, understanding, insight, and closing with Shomei Tefillah, who hears our prayers. In those middle brachot, Rashi held that Rav Asi held that there is no order. Which means, let's suppose somebody's making davening Shemot Esrei, and sadly, I think this will be an all too familiar experience to too many of us. Skip the bracha. Right, you realize that in your mind you were saying and you skip to Rifayinu. So what do? If the order is required, then the halacha should be that the person would have to go back to the last bracha that they said in the right order and start from there to say them all again in the continuing order. Sometimes, in those kinds of situations, you can't even do that. You have to go back to the beginning. But in any case, one of those two options would be required if the order was mandatory, not just mandatory, but necessary and indispensable. But Rav Asi, Rashi thinks, holds that if somebody skipped a bracha and then they remember it, then they can say it right where they remembered it. And then Rashi explains to Mifaresh, this is Rashi talking now, Shahaseder Rak L'chadchila, that order even in Tefillah is only to begin with. L'chadchila is a hard concept because B'dievet means, people think B'dievet means not so good, but really B'dievet means only after the fact. So L'chadchila means required unless something has already gone wrong. But if something has already gone wrong, then it's not required to, you don't have to go back to do it again in order to get meaning. If somebody, let's say, for some reason, early on Seder night, thought that matzahs should be done with apples. So they go through a whole Seder. When they get up to anything that calls for a matzah, they use an apple. So that's not a l'chadchila requirement that we use matzah. It's even a b'dieved requirement. We have to use matzah, otherwise it's not the eating of matzah. But there are other areas of halacha where we say it's only l'chadchila. So l'chadchila means, often people confuse it with, only if you want to do it in the best possible way. L'chadchila means it must be done this way. But if it wasn't done this way for some reason, and after the fact, b'di'avad, somebody comes to ask about it, we don't make them do it again. That is what Rashi is saying here. So it's not like somebody can say to me, listen, I know that you prefer that I say the middle brachot in a particular order, but I really like this other order. So would it be okay, since it's only, I put the only in quotation marks, it's only l'chadchila, is it okay? Meaning, so I'll say it my way, and it won't be the perfect way, but it'll be the way that I like it. So that's not what l'chadchila means. L'chadchila means, if somebody says, what order do I say the brachos in? This is the order. This is the order the Jewish people have for these blessings. You have to say them as order. What it means, l'chadchila, is that if somebody comes to me and says, listen, I forgot to mention a bracha, or I want to know in the future, what should I do? The answer is, if somebody has already forgotten a bracha and said the bracha out of order, Rashi thinks that the person doesn't have to go back to make sure they are said in their original order. And in that way, tefillah, Rashi says, is not similar to a Megillah, Hallel, and Kriyat Shema, even though they're all in the same original source as being those items that require order. Rashi is saying, in the other ones that have psukim for them, in the case of Megillah, of reading Megillat Esther, in the case of Hallel, in the case of Kriyat Shema, there are verses in Tanakh, in Scripture, that say that the order is necessary and indispensable for those recitations. That's not the same thing as tefillah, according to Rashi. There is some order when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to the Shemona Esrei, that is, in fact, mandatory and necessary for Rashi. That would be necessary, meaning indispensable is probably the better word. That would be the first three brachot must be said in the order in which they were written, that they were ordained. So if somebody says, listen, I happened to say Mechayei HaMetim first, I don't know how it started, but I started Shemona Esrei, and I said, thank you, Borei Olam Hashem, Mechayei HaMetim HaTorah V'LaHoshiah. I started that part of the prayer, and I said that blessing, that second blessing first. Now what do? The answer is there, we can't change it. But the reason for that is not because the order is indispensable. Well, it is, but that's not an order question. It's that those three and the last three, Rav Moshe says, are in fact really thought of as one long bracha. So if they're thought of as one long bracha, then when somebody does them out of order, the person has messed up a bracha itself. And that is going to be a problem. That would be the first three and the last three. But then Rashi also agrees that even b'di'avad, even though it's already been done, one would have to go back and do it again if, let's say, somebody left out the whole first three. and they just started with a tachonin adam dat, and then they later remembered that they need to say the first three, and they said them somewhere in the middle, you'd have to go back. But that's, again, for Rav Moshe, not an issue, and that's true also if you start with the last ones. That for Rav Moshe is not a problem of seder, that you've said it out of order. It's a problem that one is not allowed to begin prayer until one has said shvacho shel makom. That's a Gemara concept, is that the idea that the first three are there because it's inappropriate for us to approach Hashem with prayer, with tefillah, if we have not yet praised Hashem. They're part of the It's an order issue. Part of the protocol, I think, is the better way to say it. Part of the protocol of coming to speak to Hashem and present our needs to Hashem, which Rav Moshe doesn't say this, but is true, which is seen as an act of avodat Hashem, of service of God. So to offer this service without starting with praise is a problem. So in other words, when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, even though that's not really Rav Moshe's topic, when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, what he's saying is, the simplest reading of the Gemara in Megillah would be that Shmoneh Esrei is like the other three, an item that requires order. That would be Kriyat Shema, Hallel, and Megillah. They have scriptural support for that. Tefillah, we have the brightest saying that either Shimon HaPakuli or 120 elders established it, and they're the bright to use the words Al HaSeder in order. It happens to be that Rashi thinks that the middle part doesn't have that same indispensable order to it, but even Rashi has some elements of order to it. But fundamentally, Rashi thinks that the order of Shmoneh Esrei is lechatchila, is a mandatory requirement when starting out, but then after the fact, if something went wrong, wouldn't be indispensable. So that's where we get so far. So that would imply that other issues of recitation, such as Pesukei DeZimra, such as the verses that we say prior to Yishtabach, prior to Kriyat Shema every morning, would not necessarily have an order, and therefore one can go out of order. That's the implication and the thrust so far of Moshe's discussion. To make sure that we understand the necessity of bringing Shevach, of praising Hashem, before offering service, before offering praise, first, there's in the Gemara, Rabbi Samlai has an inference from a verse to indicate that it's only proper to offer praise and then make requests of Hashem. And the Rambam's phrasing of it, according to Rav Moshe, in the first chapter of Hilchot Tefillah, sounds also like it's essential to the nature of Tefillah. Because he wrote, there is an obligation, the Rambam famously held that there was a biblical obligation to pray every day. And what he wrote was, Chiyuv mitzvah zo, the nature of this obligation is, Shehei adam mitchanein u'mitpalel bechol yom, person should... Sorry, so I got interrupted, but I'm picking up where I remember. The Rambam holds that, what he says is that the obligation of this mitzvah is that a person should be mitchanein u'mitpalel b'chol yom, should supplicate Hashem every day and say the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then ask for his needs, and b'vakasha u'tkina, with a request and with pleading, and then give praise to Hashem for all the good that Hashem has given that person. And so the way the Rambam says it, it sounds like that's the construct of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to say to have these kinds of things in that kind of an order. So that order is structural to the nature, but the order within the emtzayot isn't necessarily so, for Rashi, meaning that it's a different kind of thing and that's a different kind of order. That would be taking care of the Shmoneh Esrei aspect of it, but leaving the impression that when it comes to Pesukei DeZimra, we'd be in a different territory. Leaving us with a debate about those middle ones, that Rashi thinks in the middle ones, that when they made the takana, when they established them, they did not establish them le'ikuva as indispensably required in that order, whereas Rambam and the Tosfos did. Rashi, then the Rav Moshe says, suggests that there might be a girsa issue, might be a question of how they read a Gemara in Megillah. Our girsa is that the Gemara says v'chein b'halal, v'chein b'kriyat shema uvitfila. When it's talking about the order, it says Megillah has an order, and v'chein b'halal, v'chein b'kriyat shema u'bitfilah, and with prayer. She'al tefilah omar v'chein, and therefore maybe Rashi infers from that that for tefillah, it's not exactly the same as Megillah, and therefore, with tefillah was lechatchila, it was required, but not indispensable, whereas Hallel and Kriya Shema are exactly like that, like Megillah, and tefillah is not exactly like that. Whereas Tosfos have a different version there, and maybe since they have a different version which says v'chein b'tefillah, it seems to imply that tefillah, that prayer, Shemona Esrei, is exactly the same as Kriya Shema and as Megillah, and as Hallel, in the order being indispensable. All of which shows for Rav Moshe that for all that we know in case of tefillah, that in the case of Sukkot Zimra, that there was an order that was included in the discussion, the question, right, meaning, so let's say, we know that Ashrei and the five Halalukas are in the middle, and that there are things before that and things after that. So for all that we know that's the way that it was created, it was set up, we have to figure out whether it's le'ikuva, if we have any reason to think that it's necessary, that indispensable, that it be that way. So since it's not even true for tefillah, that we know that for Shemona Esrei, for the Amidah, the standing prayer, that we know that it's that way, Rav Moshe is saying, we have no reason to think that it's true of Pesukei Dezimra. We know that there's an order, but there's no reason to think that order involved an indispensable requirement that could not be foregone. It could be, for example, that the whole point of the order was that you don't look at different Jews as if they're saying different things and the whole people is split, and therefore they made an order, but that the order wasn't vital except for that purpose. So if somebody was trying to keep to that order and then ended up not, that could be a whole different kind of thing. It is more likely that there are actual reasons for this order. The Rambam offers some reasons. So, for example, the Rambam says, "V'shibchu chachamim lemi shekore mizmirot mitilal David ad sofa sefer." Chachamim praise those who read zmirot, meaning Tehillim, from Tilal David, which is like six mizmorim from the end of the sefer. Tilal David, with the Asher we put on as an extra pasuk, but it really starts Tilal David, and from the Tilal David until the end of the last what we call Halalukas, that is the end of the book of Tehillim. So Chachamim prays somebody who reads that every day, and then the Rambam writes, and the custom is already to put verses before that and verses after that. So that shows that there's an order for those to be wrote in the middle of Tehillah, what we call Ashrei, Tehillah David, until the finishing of the Halalukas. That's from the Gemara, and then from before and from after seems to be a custom, and that's the way the Magen Avraham has it as well. Of course, we do have a bracha before and after, right? We have a Baruch Shemar at the beginning and Yishtabach at the end. So even though the verses in the middle are sort of scattered, right? We don't have particular verses. We have a bunch of different verses from various places. And then he says, and certainly there are reasons for this, as given by Yod Ei Chein. So Chein in rabbinic writing is an acronym for Chochmat Nistar. So Yod Ei Chein, the people who know mysticism and mystical issues, so they definitely have reasons for all this. Rav Moshe says that some of them are before Pesukei Zimra because it's a hachana and hazmana. It's preparing ourselves for the proper way to say Pesukei Zimra. And then there are other things like Vayivarech David that we say after the Halalukas that they saw some important mystical and hidden need, but that even if that's true, it's not enough to say that it creates an established order. And you can say that when they make the brachos for this, it was really just on the Halalukas, and then other things came in and they got in. And therefore, that would be still no reason to assume that there's a required order. Even according to the Smag, cited by the Magen Avraham, that Vayivarech David, when one has to skip the Halalukas, you should still say Vayivarech David, the Smag held, for reasons that we can look up another time. Nonetheless, since Tilal David and Halalu B'Kot Sho are more important, they're always said, they're seen as, meaning if somebody's pressed for time, the Smag held, you would say Tilal David, what we call Ashrei, and one Halaluka, Halalukel B'Kot Sho, and then say Vayivarech David. Others held, no, you'd say more of the Halalukas rather than Vayivarech David. Aside from the Vayivarech David question as to whether it goes before or after, it's more important or less important, which Rav Moshe thinks doesn't affect actually the order, because once one is saying all of them, it's clear that the Mizmorim, the Halalukas, go together. Aside from that question, this question of Hodu, of the verses that we say right after Baruch She'amar, that we say, that our Ashkenazi custom is to say right after Baruch She'amar, he points out the Rambam did not have them at all. We say them right after Baruch She'amar, and then a lot of people say them before the bracha. And that's because the practice of saying these verses, Rav Moshe says, is because they were verses that were said at the time of offering of the tamid, of the morning sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. When the sacrifice was being offered in the Beit HaMikdash, there were two sacrifices. There were communal sacrifices daily. There was a morning tamid and an afternoon, a Bein HaArbayim tamid. And during the offering of the tamid, the Levim would say certain verses. The tradition was these were the verses that were said, and therefore we say them. And that's why he thinks that it makes sense even to say them before Baruch She'amar, because it's before you get into a prayer at all. So if you think of Pesukei Dezimra, of these introductory psalms, as being part of the order of prayer already, then these aren't part of that order. But since it's also part of Tehillim, they're part of the songs that David offered to Hashem, many other people suggested that you don't have to say it before the bracha, you have to say it after the bracha. In other words, Rav Moshe seems to be assuming that the original custom was to say it before the bracha, and then later custom put it in with the bracha. The originally was said before the bracha, sort of like we say Korbanah today, it was like a memorial of that. That I don't think is the custom of those who say Hodu say it right before Baruch She'amar, whereas in Rav Moshe's picture, you'd think maybe they would say it before even saying Korbanot. In any case, the general Ashkenaz comes to say it after Baruch She'amar, because since Baruch She'amar speaks about Shirei David, the songs of David, that bracha applies to Hodu as well, and therefore it makes sense to say Hodu afterwards. Either way you come to conclude about that, it seems clear, though, that it's not a requirement of order, that you can't claim the order of Hodu is vital and necessary. And since we also allowed ourselves in Rav Moshe's reconstruction to insert Hodu after Baruch Shammah, before Ashrei, before Tehillah David, it would seem that there, too, the order wasn't an indispensable requirement, since it allowed and had room for flexibility for things to get in there. So that, even though one can construct reasons for the structure of prayer, Rav Moshe is saying, all of those reasons, valid as they may be, will create an obligation to say it in that order only lechatchila, only when one is doing it. When one is making the choice of how to do it, one will be required to do it in this order. But if it turns out that one forgot, right, you can say it wherever you remember. Or, let's suppose somebody walked in, as I said at the beginning, and thought they had not enough time to say everything, so they said only, let's say, Ashrei and the Hallelujahs, and then they realized they had much more time. So even though going back to Hodu would seem to be a going back, Rav Moshe is saying, we have no reason to think so, and that after the fact we could and should, therefore, be able to say it where it is that it comes up that we're able to say it. There is one problem from Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Nun Aleph, Sif Katan Ted Zion, says, let's say somebody didn't say Potech Yadecha with Kavanah. The tradition was that in the Mizmor of Tehillah David, the Mizmor, the psalm that we call Ashrei, but there's really Tehillah David, in that psalm, there's a verse that reads, Potech Yadecha Masbir L'chol Chai Raton. Hashem opens his hand, as it were, and gives all of creation, all living creatures, what they need. The assumption, the tradition was that verse required Kavanah. Of course, all prayer should be said with proper attention and proper focus, but that one required kavanah, needed kavanah. Rav Moshe Berurah says, let's say somebody did not have their proper kavanah when they said that verse. He says they have to go back and say poteach, and then they have to repeat all the way to the end of the mizmor. And then he says that if somebody didn't remember until after they had finished some or all of the hallelujahs, and he doesn't have time to go back, then after prayer, after davening, he should go back and say everything that he said in the wrong order. Meaning, somebody says, Potech Yadecha without proper kavanah, and they're saying it, as sadly many people do, without kavanah, without proper focus and attention. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the hallelujahs, they think to themselves, oh no, I said Potech Yadecha, and I wasn't even thinking about it when I said it. It just sort of came out of my mouth automatically. Mishnah Berurah seems to does paskin, that person should go back to Potech Yadecha, say it with the proper attention, and then continue in order. And if it's not possible, then that person should do it after prayer, after davening, come back and say it again. That implies that the order is not only required when one is starting out, but that the order is required even after the fact, even after it's been done the wrong way. Whereas, according to Rav Moshe's reasoning, once one finishes the hallelujahs, one could then stick in Potech Yadecha, perhaps Potech Yadecha all the way to the end of that mizmor, but stick it in there, and it would be even better, Rav Moshe says, because then it would be in the bracha, between the bracha of Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, which are blessings that are said on the act of reciting parts of Psalms as introductory to our prayers. So he thinks it's even a better idea his way. yes, we've lost the order, although we lost the order to begin with, we can dispense with that once it's happened already, and we can stick in the Potecha Yadecha in the course of our Pesukah de Zimra in the wrong place, but get them in between in the course of the Brachot that thank Hashem for, or bless Hashem for this right to do this. And therefore he says, V'lachein nired loka Mishnah Berurah. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, I think the Mishnah Berurah didn't get this one right. A reminder, I've seen it before, but a reminder that Rav Moshe, who was a generation younger than the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Moshe was born in 1895. He's 50, 60 years younger than the Mishnah Berurah, but it's still relatively close for him, and therefore, and he's an Akron. Mishnah Berurah is an Akron. Rav Moshe is a decisor of note. He says he thinks, yeah, this case, he thinks you can paskin against the Mishnah Berurah. When it comes to interrupting Pesukah de Zimra, this is not quite the same thing as the order question, but if we think of Pesukah de Zimra as a unit, as we have been, although it's a unit whose order is not indispensable, as we spent all our time saying, but then there was a question of saying Brichu in the middle. Let's suppose somebody is saying Pesukah de Zimra, and the Chazan gets up to a Chatzi Kaddish, to a Kaddish, and in the course of Kaddish, there's a place where the Chazan says Kutsha, and then everybody says Brichu, that we hear the name of Hashem invoked in Aramaic, but the name of Hashem, that Hashem is the Holy One, and we all say Brichu. So there were those who thought that you could do that even in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. Rav Moshe says it seems obvious to him that that's not true, because there is no requirement to answer Brichu. It's the custom, it's the practice, and the Magen Avraham has a reason for it, that the Chazan should know that he shouldn't stop, he should keep going. So we say Brichu, and he keeps going. So that, he says, to follow that practice is certainly no more important than saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo to Brachot, which are also not an absolute requirement. And in Kuf Chav Dalet Seif Hey, it mentions this, and you have a source for it in the Gemara to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. But the Vilna Gaon and the Mishnah Berurah, so you see the Rosh is not dispensed, he's not saying the Mishnah Berurah is not worth following. The Vilna Gaon and the Mishnah Berurah say that in the course of Pesukah de Zimra, one should not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because that's an interruption, an unnecessary interruption of one's Pesukah de Zimra. And so Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is like that. Rav Moshe is saying Brichu, and to answer the Kaddish that way, is clearly in his mind also a similar interruption. Therefore, one should not do it between Baruch Shemar and Yishtabach. But one can answer it between Yishtabach and Yotzer, meaning and once Yishtabach is over, Pesukah de Zimra is over, before Baruch Hu, we have a Chatzi Kaddish in there. He says there's nothing going on, and there he thinks you are allowed to answer these kinds of things. And that is Rav Moshe Feinstein's thoughts on the necessity of order when it comes to Pesukah de Zimra, our responsibility for the 15th of Tammuz. Have a great day.